When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so the gospel of the Lord. But who do you say that I am? A special part of worship is involved in saying God's name with full conviction, just the way we would do it from our own resources and vision of things. It's a wonderful thing to name God in a new way and with a more complete understanding and faith and direct experience. That's the great thing. The need is to expand our openness, the infinite being of God. Sometimes you do this not by being better or being more attentive, but being more immediately aware of your brothers and sisters and their needs, more immediately aware of the wonder of creation itself. You are called to be the agent of forgiveness for someone. You didn't expect that. And this, you more clearly reflect the divine life more than any extraordinary human achievement or accomplishment on your own. We need to adjust to that. And out of our need and out of our surprise, name God in turn. Some people or times are eminently lovable, the child, the baby, the handsome man or woman, the mellow elderly person, even whose features are softened by experience and the give and take of a life lived with joyful enthusiasm and even at times with wisdom. Some persons are lovable, but only with difficulty. Sometimes we, who are very ordinary, rise to a moment of beauty or loveliness, but more often we're held in the ordinary challenges of life, and a beauty of temperament, of manner, is not really achieved for all to see. In saying who God is, we rise up from this. We build on human experience. We reflect the divine goodness in our behavior. This is the most remarkable sort of prayer. Do you name and worship the divine reality which is worthy to be recognized by your brothers and sisters? A God of habit or comfortable orthodoxies, self-referential projection? Well, that's hardly worth our consideration. Speaking the name of God, being alive to the moment, is an act of discovery, even and especially perhaps for Peter and Paul. We need to name a God of being that is alive to the moment, an act of ordinary and discovery and surprise. And God is so much more than our memory can contain. To speak God's name with fresh awareness is to discover and be surprised, as we are through the ordinary ideas and attitudes of the faith expressions in our lives, that God holds out to us. We need to come to life as we name the Lord in this wonderful moment of discovery. I'm fascinated with the discoveries that come from within. Think of the moment when in your life when you have said, "I love you," to another person. Perhaps this was first to a parent. What changes and discoveries result from this? Both the cherishing of another person and the deep realization of self that follows such a declaration. So you can think back at such moments of discovery. Infatuation among children. Some part of this is a best friend and so on. Or the early attractions among children, and then we can follow this up all the way through romantic love and permanent commitments we make. Someone like myself committed to a celibate expression of love, there's always friendships and all the deep sense of family and affectionate recognition of the people I have served through the years. And this has changed me more than anything else I can think of. But we need to rise up and name this wonderful, wonderful experience and link it to the divine. This growth of loving people can be seen in the most natural thing in the world. Recently, I heard an excellent retelling of the familiar story of Helen Keller and how she first made a breakthrough into the bigger world beyond the limitations of her own blindness and deafness. Close your eyes for just a moment, cover your ears, and become familiar with the silence and darkness of her world. Helen Keller, you'll remember, was born as a normal child, but then at 18 months suffered terrible diseases that left her deaf and blind for life. Imagine the isolation and imprisonment that she suffered. Her parents were indulgent, and in her private world, Helen would throw tantrums and be quite disagreeable. Helen was not the first person to receive such a terrible isolation. Everything changed when her parents hired Anne Sullivan as her teacher and companion. Anne herself had been blind for a time and then had attended Perkins School, which specialized in helping those who were blind and deaf. The first thing that Anne did when she arrived was to demand more disciplined behavior on the part of Helen, separating her from her parents. They even lived in a shed at the back of the property. This all led up to that famous moment in the story, with which I'm sure you're familiar, when Helen discovered the outside world. Anne led her to the pump house while pouring cold water on her hand. In the other hand, she spelled out the letters W-A-T-E-R, first slowly, and then repeated it more rapidly in sign language. Helen made the connection between the sign language and the experience of water. But beyond that, she realized that if this is true for water, then a whole world of experience and understanding was opened up to her. She discovered the world outside herself, and she became anxious to learn more words and did so very rapidly. And so she realized her potential as a very remarkable human being. It's as if this connection with the world felt so normal and natural. And this is a reflection on that experience that was new for me in hearing the story again. Something normal and natural. I think our prayer needs to be like that. This story points out some of the things that can happen at prayer. But we do not want to be timid, repeating prayers by memory, asking for things, perhaps even too focused on our own need for forgiveness. We need the courage and imagination to name God out of the experiences that arise in our own daily life. Rather than just repeating someone else's prayer, we can dare to form new ways of naming God and placing before the unique and mysterious experiences a link to God who blesses our lives in such remarkable ways. Not that we give up formal prayers, our tradition values, the rosary, the psalms, formal daily prayers of the church. These are wonderful, certainly, and they can always be of great benefit. But as the occasion arises, it's a wonderful experience to move beyond these familiar disciplines and speak a new word of praise and a freshness of consciousness that links us directly with our God. I may never come fully to life and full self-realization until I dare to name God in my own unique but perhaps fragile way. But who do you say that I am? I want to enliven this unique sense of recognition, the love which God has blessed all my days and all my life, the ways in which God has blessed you, the ways we need to be forgiven and so become empowered to forgive others, to shatter spiritual isolation and loneliness of so many brothers and sisters in modern life. Isn't this the very thing that discourages so many people from going to church who seem trapped in secular, static, flat frame of reference? We need to dare to open up the world by naming God with courage and imagination and, yes, even beauty, but also with a deep appreciation for ordinary ways. God chose to share his very being with all of us. Perhaps the greatest surprise is that it's so simple. God is within our very effort to fasten and declare a moment of discovery and recognition and moving into thankfulness and praise. What freedom there is in that. What wonderful recognition. Say that name that comes to mind. Dare to make the connection between your everyday, ordinary life and the wonder of God who visits, supports, and loves us in such extraordinary ways. Who do you say that I am? You're the joy and the wonder of my small world. You are forgiveness and freedom. You are delight and beauty. You are love and wonder, laughter, even tears of recognition. You are life within life. You are my Lord and God, and I love you with perfect joy. On this feast of Peter and Paul, we remember these sentiments.